flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ohio State strikes quickly from 45 yards.
Back to Sam and Greg.
Live from the College Football Playoff Fan Central at the Georgia World Congress Center.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is one of those, man, you just want to just listen to the music. I guess we got to start talking.
We got to talk, man.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this King holiday. This is the kind of music you're going to – I feel like we should be passing the plate, man.
No, we ain't going to pass the plate.
We're just going to let
Aretha sing.
Well,
we got to go back into this.
And anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92. Thank you, Noel. Here at the Playoff Fan Central World Congress Center, get ready for tonight's national championship game. And we have got some folks that are going to be joining us throughout the show. But as we start off every hour, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And I hate screaming over Aretha. And a good morning and happy holiday to all of y'all in Noonan.
In Noonan.
In
all right,
now
in Cayuga County. Hope y'all doing well this morning.
I was going to say, and hopefully they're still coming back, or are they back, would you say?
They're back from that.
We okay.
don't have any bad snow that we feel like most of the whatever happens weather-wise is going to be from Atlanta south. We'll get more than we will get. We'll see, though. We're hoping that it gets a minimal amount of whatever it is that may come.
Well, we have a special guest joining us here. This is normally the time we turn things over to you, and you let us know what's going on locally, but everything about today is local.
It really is. Well, it's a day local, absolutely, because it is King holiday, and
yep.
and we are observing today, and it's a day on, not a day off, and people want to do things that are active service, and it's become a big day for high school basketball in our area. Several events are taking place today, and people want to get out and see some great high school basketball action. Coach Darryl Darby is joining us now, and he was talking about an event that's going on, the Dream Challenge. Coach, good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 with Sam and Gray.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's hard to come behind Aretha, but I'm going to try my best.
And see what I'm saying? Right? He don't want to do it either.
It's great to have you on, and King Holiday means something very special. I posted on my social media, and D.A. Lane went out there and hit on it, so he knows about this event. Talk about the Dream Challenge and this year's version of it.
Well, the Dream Challenge, actually, guys, this is the 7th annual Dream Challenge. Funny story I want to tell everybody. My first year I did it at Morehouse College, and I coached AAU basketball as well. And I had several of my players playing it. And ironically, if people go back and check, Anthony Edwards was the first ever MVP of my event. I coached Anthony in AAU, and now I'm the director of the AAU program. So that's how far we go back from the event. And it's kind of going into this year. I'm still coaching AAU, so I always like to get my current players involved. I like to have a good mix of talented players, really good coaches, but I'm really just proud about my matchups. The game will be very competitive. Last year we had 3 of our 7 games go to the last bucket or overtime. So it's really a competitive day.
Coach, you mentioned Anthony Edwards. Did you see then what we're seeing now in this man?
Well, let me just say this, and you guys know, you've seen sports. You just don't turn on personality. You just don't turn on talent. You don't ever know what level a kid or high is going to get to. But, yes, you saw moxie. You saw confidence. I mean, if you guys go back and see any of the old highlights, he's always played with a certain swag about him. So it just highlighted who he's always been.
Fantastic, fantastic. Coach, talk about this year's event and where this game is being played. You're going to be where at Morehouse, and you're now at Maynard Jackson. You want people to come out because it's something that people can do as a form of service today, right?
Yeah, so it was very important to me, guys, when I first started. There were no ML King events in the city. There were other guys doing ML King events, but not in the city. So when I did at Morehouse, it was very important for me to keep it in the city, keep it around. As you guys know, city basketball is not what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I just wanted to make sure that the old heads and the people that value basketball could still come in the city and just experience a really good day of basketball. And what we have always, we have a partner with Jack and Jill Foundation, and I have a shoe drive. But it's unique in the sense that I have the players and the coaches bring gently used and new shoes and donate it. So if you ever watch the team coming in the door, they come in with two or three trash bags. They drop it off to a Jack and Jill. They clean the shoes, spray the shoes, separate the shoes by sizes. And then we have different charitable, they have different charitable groups that they donate the shoes to. And then we go have like a 12-man group of kids on Wednesday. We go to the homeless, and we try to keep 40 to 50 pairs of shoes, and I just have them go out to the homeless and just pass out shoes.
Fantastic. Now, people coming to the game, are you encouraging people to bring shoes with them if they come out to the game today as well?
Well, guys, I did it one year, and it was just overwhelming. The ladies at the front were swamped with it. So the teams just do it. The teams do enough of it that we have plenty of shoes. We all have over anywhere from 2 to 280 pairs of shoes that we get just from the team. So I just kind of let the guys and the players give back. Since you all know, these guys go through shoes like it's crazy, and they're shoe heads. So normally I get some of the better, cool, hip shoes coming from the players.
Coach Darby, you talk about this being the seventh anniversary of the Dream Challenge, but you also talked about moving this to other cities, historic cities. So how is that happening, and where else are you taking this?
So actually, our partner, so again, just like having this city, I thought it was important to try to partner up with Birmingham, and partner with Memphis, and partner up with D.C. and Chicago, certain major cities that civil rights was very important and influential, and just trying to kick it off. Again, doing AAU, I'm sponsored by Adidas, and Ant has some really good brand partners. So it's just doing the logistics of it and kind of having to go around. I don't know yet if I'm going to move around from city to city, say 1 year in Memphis, 1 year in Atlanta, 1 year in Birmingham, or just have it one day and just have partnerships with those guys in those cities and just have a real big Dream Challenge in 4 to 5 cities.
Yeah, it's a great event today. Some games. Your first game is at 11:30. I'm seeing some teams that are really good teams and that are ranked in the state rankings. The Maynard Jackson team is always there. I see Midtown Mays and Sandy Creek. Sounds like a tremendous game. And your last game, Tri-Cities and Newton. Those programs are always good. So people come out, you're going to see some of the best teams in the state today.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the thing about it. If you look at like soccer and everybody that's been a basketball head goes back to Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard's days, yeah.
When it was prominent. If you look at Sandy Creek, they've won. Coach Nixon has done a great job and won multiple state championships. Right now, you have Newton that's been coming on and had Ashton Hagans over the years. So some of these teams have reputable stars that's played over the years in the event, but also good young kids too. So another thing, I like to look at kids that's in 10th and 11th grade that next year you're like, oh man, where did a kid come from? I never heard about that kid. So being on the grassroots side, I get to look at some kids, but like a Lovejoy, just a kid, Jeremiah Stokes at Lovejoy, 6th, 7th, 9th grader. In a couple of years, you're going to be like, man, where did this kid come from? But right now, he's just at a school that really is not known for basketball. So that's why I want to bring Lovejoy into light. So I'm very excited. Midtown High School has a new coach over there that he's trying to turn things around. He has a group of young kids, and in the event space, sometimes you can't wait too late to get kids because they get invited to a lot of hoop halls and a lot of these things. So some of the schools participate every year, and I had like to keep a fresh batch of teams coming in just to keep the event fresh.
I see you got Windsor Forest now. That's a road trip for them.
That is a road trip. Coach actually called me yesterday and was concerned about the weather coming up to Atlanta. But, again, he was in my first annual one back at Morehouse, and now he got a squad. He's trying to come up to Atlanta and let everybody know it.
Watch out for them boys from South Georgia now.
Coach Daryl Darby joining us here, the event organizer for the 7th Dream Challenge. You know, you talk about doing this all these years. And so this guy, you know, you started this pre-pandemic. And you also started this pre-NIL. You obviously had to make some adjustments, some pivots here and there. And as it sits here in its 7th year, how proud are you of its growth, given what the obstacles that you had to deal with over these 7 years?
Well, I think sometimes when I'm in it, I don't really see it, but the people, the sponsors and the coaches and whatever, they kind of make me feel extra proud about the event, that it's still going on, that it still has steam, that it still has legs to kind of grow, like you said, growing into different cities and whatever. And one thing I've done also from year to year, I've never brought in I don't like bringing in a lot of out-of-town teams. I like keeping it local. I like going down South Georgia. I like going to Augusta. I think there's so much talent, when you say with the NIL, if you guys look in the top 100 players every year, if you look in the pros, you see Georgia kids sprinkling around everywhere. Yeah. So I just felt like it was important just to kind of have it here. But I had people to talk about, you know, you need to do a girls' MLK. You need to do a middle school MLK. So it's a lot on the table that we can do it with Dream Challenge. And you guys go, even the NBA. 10 years ago, it wasn't as big as now. Now it's the NBA's gotten it, and the sponsorships and the TV rights with it has gotten are really big. I have the pleasure of having the event on the National Championship Day, so I think that's very important, being downtown. So I just think it's a good day. The Hawks are playing. It's just a good day of sports at every level here in Georgia.
It truly is, truly is. Coach Darby, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. I know.
We going to ask him if he got a pick for tonight?
Oh yeah. Who are you picking for the game here tonight downtown? You got a favorite?
I might be hated in here, but I'm going with Notre Dame. I'm going with the underdog. I'm only going with the underdog.
All right, rolling with the Fighting Irish there here in town. Coach, we appreciate it. Much success to your event today. Hope people come out and enjoy it. A great day of basketball, and hope you get a whole lot of shoes. Those teams have a whole lot of shoes to take to help some folk out.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. That is the Dream Challenge starting at 11:30. Got games at 11:30, 1, 2:30, 4 o'clock, 5:30, and 7 o'clock. That last game, as I mentioned, ought to be a great one with Tri-Cities against Newton. Two really strong high school programs, and, you know, that's what we do. Every time she does that, you jump.
I jump because, hey, I wish she would come on with us. What we're talking about, Noelle is letting us know because she's obviously not here on location with us. We got the commission, and we just hear that voice. And y'all have no idea how much that voice makes us smile.
Yeah,
Sam and I, we just be from around.
We're going to hear from in another segment.
Yeah.
One segment, and we're gonna
hear. But here's what I was thinking about, I was just about to bring her name up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is something people who listen to our show know, that she's a sneakerhead. And here we are talking about gym shoes.
Yeah.
We need to put Coach next to Noelle.
I know it.
and work something out. But that's what just about to bring that now here. 2 minutes. Yeah. So I want to thank you for waking us up. We got no coffee in this area.
I got some. I brought mine with me.
I had some on the way here.
I figured this place wasn't moving till 10 o'clock, man. So I see somebody across the way with some, though. We're going to go over there. I don't think I might tackle him.
I'm going to say, no, I got you. I'm going to block him, too.
I'm going to tackle him and find out where he got that coffee. I'm headed over there, right. We're ready to take a break.
We're going to leave the commission, talk to Tim Scarborough, who's joining us. That'll be perfect, too, because they're going to talk college basketball.
College basketball.
So that's going to be perfect.
Coming up, folks. That's coming up. We talked about the, you know, no SEC teams in this game tonight. The SEC schools are being represented in the college basketball polls. Tim Scarborough is our college basketball expert. He will join us next. It is Sam and it's Greg. We're at the Georgia World Congress Center for Playoff Fan Central on this King Holiday and National Championship Day here in Atlanta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Ohio State strikes quickly from 45 yards.
Back to Sam and Greg.
Live from the College Football Playoff Fan Central at the Georgia World Congress Center.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Monday, 20th day of January. Happy MLK holiday. We are at Fan Central, the Playoff Fan Central, getting ready for tonight's national championship game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. And we have just got a show that is packed with people. We're going to take you around the sports world, but obviously focusing on tonight's game, the events around the city of Atlanta, and just the disbelief that we have had over the last, I don't know how long you've been talking about college basketball, and just the disbelief of how the SEC is just running amok this year.
Really?
Yeah, that's about the best way to put it.
They are doing it. They are doing it big time.
And maybe people go, huh, hang on a second. And then you said something that was funny. Shout out to our own David Archer.
Yeah. Iowa State has climbed up to number two in most polls. The Fighting Dave Archers,
They were making noise in the playoff, college football, and now here they are. Listen, man, listen.
You watch out for the Fighting Dave Archers, man.
I can't remember, though. Where's Iowa State, though, with the city it's in?
Ames,
Iowa?
Is it Ames?
I don't know.
Or Iowa City?
We have to go look.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been in the Quad Cities before.
Okay.
They had a big time. Anyway.
And he's going to get us for that.
He is. He really is.
He'll get us for that.
Well, somebody will tell him because he's right now. Can't blame him either. Can't blame him. Is our guest ready to join us?
So. Hope so. Yes. You know what? We talk college basketball. Always great to have Tim Scarborough, and he joins us now on this MLK Monday, which is also big for basketball around the area. Tim, welcome to you.
And we apologize to you because Tim likes to sleep in, too.
I know it.
You know I always get up early for you guys, don't you? You're my boy.
All right. Listen, man, we're getting ready for this day. You want to get your football pick out of the way before we talk college basketball?
Wow. You know what? I'm torn. You know, I have family and friends in Ohio State. You say OH, they say IO, you know, but, you know, something about Coach Freeman that I love. And, you know, he's the first black coach to make it this far in NCAA college football. So, you know, I'm kind of torn. I like both teams. I kind of think Ohio State's better, but that doesn't mean they'll win this game. You know what I'm saying? So it should be a great game, though. And Atlanta is very lucky year after year to be able to host such great football events.
Yep. I mean, how'd you like the 12-team playoff? Is it too many? Not enough? You feel like ought to add more teams?
I like the number of teams. The formatting may have been a little unusual in terms of some of the teams that got byes that weren't as good as the teams that had to play the week before. Both Ohio State and Notre Dame, I believe, played in the first week. So, you know, the teams that got byes all ended up getting beat. So, 1 year is not a big enough sample size to know whether you think it works or not. There were some flaws in it, but I think we got two very good teams in the championship. Ohio State certainly deserves it. The thing I like about it is that now, instead of when you take a loss in October, your whole entire season is blown up. Now you get retribution. You know, Ohio State lost to Michigan. Ordinarily, that would automatically be disqualifying in terms of you didn't win your Big Ten, you lost to your rival, you probably won't make the playoffs. I mean, it happened to Georgia last year, right?
Right.
When they were in the college football SEC championship here in Atlanta, and their only loss was to Alabama, and all of a sudden, they're on the outside looking in, and you're like, that's not right. I mean, I don't know what is fair, but I know it's not fair for that team to not be in it, right? So I think having that number of teams, you ensure that every team that's championship worthy gets a chance. But, yeah, they'll probably get tweaked again.
Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. All right, I have a theory about college basketball right now and what we're witnessing. And if I had to sort of let it make sense in my head, I believe what we're watching is an extension of what we just got through talking about, what's going on in college football, because that landscape has changed. We talked about the teams that were part of the 12-team playoff, some you didn't expect. But we know that players now are gravitating toward places that aren't the traditional locations, and they're going there for different reasons, the NIL and blah, blah, blah. We go all into that. But what we're watching in college basketball is, and it got me thinking about, what is Bruce Pearl doing so well this year that he has it? Now, he's made some noise in the past, but I just believe this person, much like, and I said this to Sam earlier, he's kind of like college basketball's Jim Harbaugh in a way. He's quirky. He does these things off, but somehow he connects with these players. And these teams that we find in the top 10, I believe with the players that they have, are going to these non-traditional locations because of the coaching staff, because of the money that's there. It's just a little bit different than our grandfathers and our fathers' college basketball. I mean, I ain't thought of Marquette, who's sitting there at number 7 right now, since Al McGuire and Billy Packer and what's his name? Dick Enberg were calling games, and Doc Rivers was playing
Hey.
There.
So you just going to skip the D. Wade era, okay.
Yeah, I did. I'm saying, but I haven't thought about them since then, so yeah. That's just my thought and that's just me. But how do you describe what we're seeing as far as these powers on college basketball that aren't the same as years past?
So, first of all, you're old.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Right? I'm with you. I'm right there with you. There is the talent pool is vast. There are a lot of really good, talented individuals that you can no longer stockpile the best players at these schools. Now, I've covered mid-majors for 25 years. So I understood back then that there are some really good players that the America doesn't know, that I see on a night in and night out basis. Some of those players are now ending up at the Power Five. You take Jahni Broome, for example. I know he's hurt at Auburn, and I believe he's coming back, tweaked his ankle a few weeks ago. At Auburn, hasn't missed a beat, even though he's a National Player of the Year candidate. Well, I remember Jahni Broome when he was a freshman at Morehead University in Kentucky. And I believe he got 2 Freshman of the Year awards, because he won Freshman of the Year, and then he came back in the COVID year, and he was qualified as a freshman again. He was the best player in that league both years. So, you know, those are the kind of guys that are ending up at Auburn and Ole Miss and Tennessee and some of these teams that haven't been near the top of the SEC because it's been dominated by Florida in past and certainly Kentucky. So some of that is just so many good players. The other thing is what you mentioned, the transfer portal is so rich with talent that you could almost pick and choose and shape your team the way you want it. You know, what do I need? I need a 6'9" power forward that can shoot and step out and set screens and still rebound and block shots. Okay, there's 30 kids like that in the portal now. Go get one. You know, and when you have NIL money to do so, it becomes easier. But the problem now is more about retention. You know, yeah. John Calipari years ago knew he wasn't going to have his team. He knew he had to recruit a new team because the rest of all his stars are going to the NBA after one season. Now, that's not necessarily happening. The kids are just going in the transfer portal to get more money at the end of the season. So the coaches who can retain their players are the ones that are going to continue to be successful or try to do the John Calipari model and rebuild it from scratch every year. My guy at Auburn, Bruce Pearl, who I consider one of the top coaches in the country and always have considered him that, he has retained some of his players. So he's got a nice mix of retention plus a couple of kids that you can plop in there, plug and play, and be successful. But they're a really good team. They're going to contend for a national championship. You know, they were in the Final Four a few years ago, and they were in the Elite Eight and the year Virginia won in 2019 and had them beat. Actually, that was the Final Four. Had them beat, and they got a chance to go to the championship. But it's not for a 4-point play in the corner by Kyle Guy. You know, that they end up maybe winning the national championship that year. So, I agree with what you're saying, Greg. We're both old. What I heard was we're both old.
You ain't got to keep calling me that. I know I'm old, man. You ain't got to be checking my birth certificate. I can have a good memory from when I was 6.
Yeah. For folks, we're spending time with Tim.
The memory's still there.
We're spending time with Tim Scarborough. And he is social. You can find him at TimScar20. At Tim Scar 20. Before we let you go quickly, I got a little bit of time here. Talk a bit about Georgia, because Georgia took Auburn down to the wire Saturday. And the Stedman has become a home field advantage. It has become a weapon for this Georgia basketball team that Mike White has put together.
Mike White's a really good coach. I used to cover Conference USA when he was at Louisiana Tech. And I've had a lot of good talks with that guy. He was young then. He's still, you know, he's not as old as me and Greg. Sorry, Greg. Sorry, buddy. But you know, he's really a guy that is going to get the job done, in my opinion, at Georgia. And you wonder, I mean, Georgia's got resources They have a rich talent pool in terms of the state of Georgia and high school kids. And, you know, I left shaking my scratching my head, was wondering why Tom Crean didn't get it done there. So I'm really not surprised that Georgia is finally turning things around with Mike White. But, yeah, he's got some really good players. I mean, Asa Newell is a stud. You know, he's a really good three-point shooter. He shoots 57% from the field. And when you get kids like that, you know, and remember, Tom Crean has some really good talent. So it doesn't just take talent to win, but, you know, that's a start. You got to get me some kids that can play, and then you coach them up. And I really like what the SEC is doing in general, a really good conference this year. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised that Georgia played that well against Auburn. They probably should have won the game, to be honest. So, yeah, they're going to be a real factor come March.
Yeah,
all right. We this is great. Huh? No, looking forward to bringing Tim on again. Next time, I'll have a corner man with me because I've been cut like a middleweight over here.
Cut me, Mick.
Yeah, he's like,
cut
yeah,
me, Mick.
Really?
It's, cut me, Mick.
Where's Angelo? Where's Angelo?
I'm telling you, though, you know, I'm all about those Rocky references.
Oh man, yeah, man. That's all right.
We need the fight doctor.
That's what it is. His team won.
Bernie Pacheco.
Ever since he got Saquon, they got Saquon up there. He got a little, you know, hitch in his thing. Anyway, no, we're going to try and get you on a little later now that we're in the college basketball season. But we appreciate you always when you get up early.
We really do.
And join the show.
Yes, sir.
All kidding aside.
All good. Yeah, man, you guys are great. You do a great job.
You keep messing with me like that. You keep me in check. I don't mind that at all. Don't mind that at all, man. Tim, listen tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day today,
yes,
man.
Sir. Fly, Eagles, fly.
There you go.
There we go. There you go.
Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg here. All right, it is up next. Gordon,
excuse me, ready?
The commish believes it will be NFL swirling around in Noel's head. Mm. We will find out next. Ooh. It is Noel's World. Sam and Greg here live at the Playoff Fan Central World Congress Center for tonight's national championship game. Thank you for letting us be a part of your holiday Monday morning. Happy MLK Day. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All the way to the end zone. It's a crimson avalanche here in Pasadena.
Getting you ready for tonight's championship game.
It's Sam and Greg, live from the College Football Playoff Fan Central at the Georgia World Congress Center on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We got a little smorgasbord going on here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app on this Monday morning, holiday, January 20th. King ML Day holiday, but we are here at the World Congress Center at the Playoff Fan Center for tonight's national championship game, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Sam and Greg with the commish and Noel. And it's been a while since we had a four-hour show.
Yeah.
And when we do a four-hour show, we like to, you know, we give you a chance to know about the casting opportunities, which I will tell you about next hour, but we also devote a segment to find out what is going on in Noel's world.
The commish, we haven't had our greeting yet. Today.
Uh-oh. You heard that.
You haven't had our usual greeting that we get.
Well, that's my cue. Good morning.
That's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Nothing starts before we hear that.
How we doing this morning down at the World Congress Center, fellas?
All is right with the world. We're hearing you.
Now.
Yeah. We weren't too sure there for a minute.
Yeah. But we got a little coffee here, and we got some, you know, pilfered some of the other stuff that's up there, but not much.
Hey.
You know, because I, you know, if there's a place I'm not supposed to be, I usually find my way in there. and so I made sure we all got it. But we're good right now. And Gordon, if you weren't here listening earlier, excuse me, I keep doing that, the commish, wanted, he speculated that you were going to talk NFL. Is he right or is he wrong?
He is partially correct. So
partially. You get a partial commish.
I have.
Like half a sack.
Yeah, exactly. Group sack. Yeah, group sack. Congrats. I kind of started with a bit of this argument yesterday, but I heard a lot of noise, we all did, towards the end of the season with where the Vikings were sitting and where the Lions were sitting, and we need to get rid of divisional winners, and it's not fair, and blahzy, blahzy, blahzy. Well, first of all, the Lions didn't look like the Vikings didn't look like a top seed when we got to that game, did they?
Nope.
The cream always rises to the top. But I want to argue that that is what's wrong with the NBA and what they've been trying to fix for 15 years, 20 years at this point.
Okay.
So when we decided we were going to take away division winners in the NBA, right? We were just going to go with whatever the best records were on both sides, right?
Right. In your conference.
In your conference. Well, now you've taken away a lot of the spiciness and a lot of the need to play teams in your division. And now you've come up with all these things like the NBA Cup, and you got to play 65% of your games to be eligible for awards and the play-in and all this stuff to fix viewership in the regular season because you don't have divisions anymore. It's easy for LaMelo Ball to sit out when he comes to Atlanta because beating Atlanta don't mean anything. You don't get an extra umph in the standings. You don't, you know, get that extra half a game up. You don't. What incentive is there?
Building chemistry with your team, things like that.
But is that what's happening?
No.
Exactly my point. So you've had to create all this other ancillary stuff to get the players to care so that the fans will care and the viewership will maintain when, in reality, you could have just left divisional play alone. Could just left it alone. It creates an already competitive atmosphere. I need to win X amount of games against Orlando and against Miami and against what's another top team in our division? I won't say the Wizards, but the Hornets,
definitely,
because they at least have an up and coming star in LaMelo, right? If they figure some pieces out, the Hornets could be something, right? So right. I have to play against those teams to actually get to where I want to be, especially if I want a top seed and a bye and all these other prizes that come with winning your division. But when you take that away, like, yeah, I can just sit out.
I can see your point in a lot of that, because I think a lot of the coaches, a lot of the staff has factored in that we can play so many games in our respective conference, and as long as we win a percentage of those, we're okay.
Right.
And what happens is a lot of times we have a lot of these top teams, whether it's Philadelphia, whether it's a Golden State, Lakers, whoever a team that has older players, they'll sit out a bunch of guys. But they factor in, like, exactly what Noel is talking about.
Isn't that just a different way to describe load management?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's basically what she's saying.
But you can cut that out by incentivizing your local schedule is where she's ultimately getting to. You can incentivize cutting out some of that. And you could, but I think the problem was that some of the teams were already cutting that stuff out.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, given this scenario and to implement what she's talking about, how logistically possible is that to do with all these teams in an 82-game season, especially now, as you just mentioned, with this in-tournament cup going on? Do you want to keep that going on? All of that you put into a blender, what scenario would you like to see to fix that? And then how would they circumvent that moving forward? Because that's
Well, the argument I'm making is that you wouldn't need the cup. The cup wouldn't be necessary. Because you're already going to fight within your divisions for the best teams to shake out, which means you're going to play more of these games. Like the low management between West and East Coast teams, you're going to have a hard time trying to corral that. But once you took away divisional play, you opened the door for more of this low management.
Well, part of it also comes into the point where the NBA probably will never do it, but they need to shift the schedule down some, because you've been competing so much with football. You start off in the middle of football season, and you're still going right now. You're running up on what we have next month, right after the Super Bowl. You have the All-Star weekend, and you've already played the NBA Cup. Like, you have to shift some of this stuff down. Everybody's making a big deal about the viewership being down, mm-hmm. but you're in the teeth of the NFL schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And try to – listen. These things don't go backwards. You do not have a billionaire saying, we're going to change your business model around a little bit where you're going to be making less money, but the fan base will be happy. What planet is that on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but we've come up with this thing where we have these new jazzed up floors.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to do it.
Right? You know what I mean? No. I mean, they've gone to that, and they feel like they're appealing to the younger viewer, the younger person who wants to see that type thing. And so, I mean, that's what they made the investment in. The bottom line is you want people to be paying attention to what you have and a good competition. As Noel says, that really means something as far as long term. Yeah, you get this cup and you get this trophy now. But you in the end game still, you know, at the end of the season to be one of the teams that's there?
Well, I'm saying you still have all of this. You still have all of those things. You can still have the 82 games. That's not going anywhere. The TV contracts have determined it's here forever.
Okay.
You can still have the NBA Cup because they found a way to kind of it's kind of internationalize the game because it's a soccer-style tournament.
Yep.
You can still have all those things. Just start game one on December 25th.
Yeah.
Christmas Day has always been NBA Day. Make it game one, and then you can go all the way through July, and then you can still have – you're going up against baseball where how many people are watching baseball in July?
See, now, there is –
that's a whole nother
– yeah, you really – you're assuming some things.
No, I'm not assuming anything. You can't watch baseball. You have to have a baseball package nowadays to actually watch the games. Have you – you've tried to watch the Braves. Do you have the package?
Point taken.
Yeah.
Point taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't say that it's not like people will not find baseball as some type of competitor.
The crowd that's watching the NBA, if you have the NBA Finals
right.
going on in, let's say, 4th of July weekend.
Okay.
Are you watching baseball or are you watching the NBA Finals?
That for us, that's a loaded question. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, that's more popular. But this the American sports fan has options. So that 4th of July weekend, you got Wimbledon going on, mm-hmm. possibly, well, or it's close to that.
Yeah, something.
I'm just bringing it up.
But baseball is the thing that we associate 4th of July with. And
right.
I think that's the thing that we go to, especially here in Atlanta where we always have fireworks with the
right,
Braves.
With the Braves.
We think baseball when you talk to
I mean, them. I get what you're saying, but, you know, as for every yin that you bring up, there's a yang. And you can assume that the crowd that you're going for, and we're stepping all over Noel's segment here. But
yeah, we
the
are.
Crowd,
we
the
are.
Crowd
we
that
we
you guys
– I apologize. Didn't mean to do that
yeah.
to her.
That was the commission did that there, Noel. So I'll give you some casting call. Don't worry about it. But anyway, finish your point, though, Noel.
Well, my main point wasn't basketball at all. So, yeah, y'all took a left. My point was don't mess up football like the NBA did with basketball. Leave the divisions alone. That's what makes week 15, 16, 17, 18 so compelling because you're coming down to the wire against teams in your division. Like, the NFC South wouldn't have even been a thing this season. Without that divisional spot, there would have been no juice in the South at all without it.
True.
Whereas the NFC North was going to get that juice whether or not the South had that divisional spot or not because you had three teams that were sitting there with potential to go to the playoffs. What went on in the South wouldn't have affected the North at all in their publicity or hype or whatever, but losing that divisional game will affect divisions like the NFC South and the NFC West that seem to always be one of those 7-9. I noticed the old format number, but I'm using it anyway. One of those 7-9 teams that get into the playoffs and host a home game. But you don't have the beast quake without it.
So let me ask you this. How do you think that will be impacted, that the division races will be impacted by the rumors of the NFL adding the 18th game?
But that's coming. We know that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, Goodell just said it the other day. But that's – I don't see it affecting anything. That's just one more game. Like, it's going to affect your – like, if you're the Lions, it's clear what so many games does, right? Because that's part of the reason why they lost. Their defense wasn't the defense that we saw all throughout the season. The more games you play, the more likely that is to happen. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, right?
Right.
They would rather have more preseason game. I mean, more regular season games than preseason games. And to be honest, as a season ticket holder and what they cost, I agree. Give me a whole game.
I thought she was going to go someplace completely different. And it made me think about it when she started talking about the NFC South and everything, you know, competitive and blah, blah, blah. And we would have this conversation if the refs didn't mess up that Falcons game against Kansas City. Right, Falcons would have won that game. They would have had to have to fight and scraw and claw the way they did at the end of the season because they'd have had that extra win. And now people are feeling the same way about whoever Kansas City plays.
Right,
the Kansas City are getting calls that used to go to Tom Brady and the Patriots.
And everybody's sick of it.
Yep.
Everybody that didn't like them don't like the Chiefs. And I've been on this train 3 years ago. I saw this coming. So I was pre-hater. Because I saw this coming.
All right. Listen, if there's something else on you, I'll let you get it off your chest during casting call, which we will do at 8:40. There's a fresh one up. But coming up, Sam is going to take us down under. The Aussie Open is going on. And so we're going to let you know what's going on there. And then Bob Rathman, talking Hawks. He will be joining us in the 8 o'clock
hour. New York City.
It is Sam and Greg here at the Playoff Fan Central World Congress setting, getting ready for tonight's national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.